This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we are going to discuss Russia's ongoing devastating invasion of Ukraine, which has forced millions of people into neighboring countries, including Poland. As of late April, an estimated 7.7 million people have been displaced within Ukraine. More than 5.5 million have fled Ukraine since the invasion began on February 24th. This is according to the UN Refugee Agency. In a new article for The Nation, today's guest, Carol Schaefer, writes about thousands of Ukrainians who are returning. Carol Schaefer is a freelance journalist covering Central and Eastern Europe and global right-wing nationalist movements. Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, the story of people who have left Ukraine and have ended up in various European countries is not getting the attention it got a month or so ago. And your reporting offers a different and important perspective about people who have decided to leave and then some who've decided to come back. You write that the train station in the Polish border town of Przemyśl. Thank you. No longer has the crowded and frantic scenes of refugees arriving from Ukraine that it had at the start of the war. Although people continuing to arrive, the chaos has subsided. There are no more makeshift beds or soup kitchen stations, but every day a line forms outside the platform to the train headed east back to Lviv. So tell us what is happening at the border now and what explains that?
So, at first, in the first month of the war in early March, right after the invasion on February 24th, there was just an absolute huge rush to get out. And so Przemyśl and other train stations along the border, not only in Poland, but also in Hungary, parts of Moldova, as well, were similarly loaded with refugees and also people coming to help. So there would be people setting up, like I said, makeshift food stations. People were sleeping in the train station. There were medical stations. And then there would be people that would be leaving to go to other parts of Poland, getting on trains and going elsewhere. And you would see these scenes in basically any train station, at least in Poland. That's where I was, in Krakow, in Warsaw. You would just see hundreds, if not thousands, of people sleeping on the floor, getting food, getting aid. And a lot of people in these train stations, when you would talk to them, even in the early days of the war, in March, for example, you would talk to people in these train stations and say, why are you staying here? Why haven't you moved on to a shelter? And a lot of people would say, I think the war is going to end soon, and so I want to be here as soon as the next train I can take to go home. As soon as I hear that, Russia has lost, Ukraine has won, I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go home. And then there would be other people who would, continue on to shelters, and, they were thinking that it would be longer, but they would realize that staying simply wasn't sustainable. They couldn't find jobs. Housing prices were absolutely skyrocketing due to the influx of demand from incoming refugees. And a lot of people just simply didn't have the funds and the resources to be able to take on that financial challenge of settling into a new place. So you ended up having just hundreds of thousands of people who were sleeping in train stations, in refugee centers, with hundreds of other people for weeks or months at a time, unable to find work, unable to find, sort of more stable housing. And so a lot of people simply decided, I have to go back. I might as well take the risk and at least be at home. It's a really tragic situation for a lot of Ukrainians that have fled and have decided to come back.
And just for a little more context, you spoke with people who left in the wake of the first Russian invasion in 2014. For example, Sasha is one of the people you write about. You write that they filled labor gaps across Europe and Poland, which has taken in about 3 million refugees. Animosity toward Ukrainians had surged prior to the war. You write about refugees facing exploitative wages and conditions. So just tell us what basic life is like. I mean, obviously leaving a country is horrific to begin with, but then what happens when they get to a country like Poland?
Yeah, I think it's really important to focus on the experience of Ukrainians that have left over the past 10 years, because this war didn't really begin on February 24th. The invasion, this extreme invasion, happened on February 24th, but this has been a long simmering conflict, exactly since 2014, and millions of Ukrainians left over the last 10 years and have settled in Poland. There's an enormous Ukrainian diaspora community in Poland. And the current government, the Law and Justice Party, came to power in 2015 on a largely anti-immigrant rhetoric. This was at the height of the refugee crisis, where many migrants were coming and many refugees were coming from the Middle East and North Africa, but also Ukrainians were coming from the East. And as a response to a lot of the anti-immigrant rhetoric of like the Law and Justice Party and other right-wing parties across Europe, there was a lot of backlash to Ukrainians in Poland. And you know, part of the irony of this is that, you know, Polish people and Eastern Europeans in general are also in a way equally mistreated in Western European nations. So, you know, there's been a lot written about how Poles are really mistreated and, you know, suffer hate crimes and wage exploitation in countries like the United Kingdom, for example. But there's sort of this gradient of displaced mistreatment that ends up going eastward. So, you know, while Poles are being mistreated in Western countries, at home, Ukrainians take on that place in Poland. And yeah, they've been filling all kinds of wage gaps. So for example, I think the most recent statistics of Ukrainian drivers, because Ukrainians take on a lot of long haul driving jobs to fill up the supply chain of goods and services across Europe, I think their wages fall between 1 and 3 euros an hour. You know, they have to sleep in their trucks. They don't really have any labor protections or services that can help them. You know, and compare this with a wage in Germany, for example, which is 12 euros an hour.
And we should say 1 euro is now about $1.
It's, yeah. So it's 1 euro is about $1 exactly. And so they're not being paid very much at all.
Wow. So what did you hear from Ukrainians? I mean, 50,000 people are now, according to your reporting, based on what authorities estimate, 50,000 people a day are returning despite continued shelling and warnings from officials in cities like Kyiv, urging people not to return home. So what are you hearing from Ukrainians who are going back?
You know, the main thing that I've heard is just Ukraine is our home. Mm-hmm. Everything is different abroad. Everything is hard. We don't speak the language. You know, we can't really make ends meet here. We have to go home. It's the only place that makes sense to us. And I think there's a number of factors that contribute to that answer. I think the main contributing factor is simply that it's not a financially viable choice for them. You know, a lot of women that are fleeing are coming with small children. There's been concerns of sexual exploitation of a lot of these young women that are traveling alone. A lot of them are concerned about that. Basically, a lot of people have simply decided it's better to die at home than to waste away far from it.
Wow. It's also important just to point out that there were so many glowing reports about how European countries welcomed Ukrainian refugees. You point to one survey by Poland's human rights ombudsman. In 2016 and 2017, there were about 44,000 hate crimes against Ukrainians in southern Poland. And so they're facing hate crimes, major discrimination. In our remaining minute, what else can you tell us about this, and why isn't this getting more attention?
Well, I will say that the response to Ukrainian immigrants in Poland now has been nothing but a genuine humanitarian response. And it's unquestionably a social good that this is happening, and that the response has been genuinely supportive and warm, and people are really abandoning huge parts of their lives to come and help. That is happening. But it's just important to not forget what was happening before February, what was happening 2 years ago, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. This is something that has changed very much overnight. And that the problems of the last 10 years, for example, these 44,000 reported hate crimes in just one region of Poland alone, they don't just disappear. So it's important to keep an eye on how this situation is going to develop and change as the conflict continues.
Carol Schaefer is a freelance journalist covering Central and Eastern Europe and global right-wing nationalist movements. Carol has a piece in The Nation called Why So Many Ukrainians Are Returning Home. Many Ukrainian men leave little behind when they head back. It's such an important story, Carol. Thank you so much for your reporting, and we'll be following future stories.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You can find Carol's piece at yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering our show. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.